Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 183 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. With me, I have two of them again. I got Dustin Galker, I got Adam Candy. You can follow them on the Twitter machine, and you should. It's free at Dustin Galker, at Adam Candy, two E's, no Y. And if you hate yourself, you can follow me at Matt Brown, M2. Everything we mention on this podcast can be found over at LegalSportsReport.com, so be sure and head over there and take in all the great words Adam and company are getting done. We are going to talk Tennessee and what might happen with some official league data there, some Minnesota news as well, what's going on over at the prize pick land, and of course, Washington is something we will hit on as well. But Adam, let's kick things off here because, look, earnings calls, especially as we're moving into maybe a new phase of a lot of these companies, are definitely top of mind for not only investors, but for us as well to kind of see what they're saying is the path to either profitability or greater profitability somewhere along the way.
Yeah, Matt, I think I have to say earnings season, not as fun as the holiday season, maybe not as fun as baseball season, but it is a season. Yes. And it is a season that Legal Sports Report covers quite in depth. We have stories on most of the major operators and their earnings calls up at Legal Sports Report and a few more to come this week as well. I wanted to focus in particular on some discussion that was going on around DraftKings and Caesars over the last week or so, as we heard from both of them talking about when profitability will arrive. And you referenced that a moment ago, and that certainly has been more of a focus through 2022 and now into 2023, as investors have rightfully started to say, hey, by the way, all this money you're spending, all these customers you're bringing in, when is that going to turn into you making any money with these companies? And we saw from Caesars' call that its loss widened a little bit in 2022, and that was somewhat expected, especially considering what we saw in New York with Caesars at the beginning of 2022. And we saw DraftKings get a little bounce in its stock from discussion of profitability potentially next year as well, as they moved up toward $20 again, which doesn't sound like much when you think that they were up over 70 at one point, but certainly when they were hovering with dropping below 10 at various points during last year, then 20 looks a lot better. And a lot of the stories that came out, especially around the DraftKings stock situation, were that investors are reacting well to the talk of profitability. And I think what we kind of lost in this whole thread and discussion of profitability and efficiencies is what it's taken to get there for these companies. This has not necessarily been a story of, oh, it's organic growth and we're winning more and so on and so on. No, it's been a story of having to cut spend in both cases. In Caesar's case, we talked a lot about the fact that they went out with a huge offer in New York of over $3,300 and then immediately came back and said, yeah, you know, I think we're done here. We don't need to spend anymore. We've accomplished what we came to accomplish. We saw their market share drop after that offer went away, but they made a point of saying we are not going to be spending on marketing the way that we were before. They talked about it with NFL season, although I think the ubiquity of the Mannings on your NFL TV screen would suggest that maybe that wasn't cut all the way back in terms of marketing spend. And then on the DraftKings side, look, they executed a very smart PR strategy, in my opinion, 140 layoffs, or they didn't want to call them layoffs, but job eliminations one way or the other for DraftKings. That story came out about a week or two before the earnings calls. And that kind of got that news out there. And now people are talking about profitability and efficiencies without necessarily talking about what it took to get there, which was the fact that they're going to have to cut a number of jobs in the process of trying to deliver that profitability. So it's not to drag any of these companies for doing what they have to do to deliver what they have to for their shareholders. It is to say, though, it's a story that needs to be told in full when we talk about what it's going to take to get there. And all of these companies essentially chasing FanDuel in some way, shape, or form, which has not done a lot of those similar machinations just yet. We haven't heard from BetMGM in terms of what they will do. Of course, they have their joint venture partner in Entain, who we reported recently MGM will not go through with any further bids to buy Entain. But when we talk stock, when we talk profitability, all of these things, I think it's important that we talk about a full picture.
So, Dustin, here's the thing, and I think I speak for you as well with this. Look, cut back on the mailers, cut back on email if you have to, like, you know, do some eliminations there. Like, take hand sanitizers out of the bathrooms at the casinos. I don't really care, but do not get rid of JB Smoove. I do not want to have to live in a world in which the cuts involve JB Smoove. He has to stay a Caesar for eternity. I mean, this has to be what happens here.
Yeah, I mean, they have to get him on a lifetime contract at this point, right? Yeah, I mean, he's part of the brand now. There's lots of interesting stuff in here. Another aspect we saw, DraftKings CEO Jason Robbins also say they were going to cut back on team and league deals. He said that these are not terribly efficient marketing strategies for them. And I have always agreed with this. This is, you and I know this going back to the DFS days when DraftKings and FanDuel were bidding millions and millions of dollars on these deals. Then sports betting comes around, did a lot of these same deals or expanded them with either the leagues or teams and markets with sports betting. And it's an interesting dynamic because, yes, it's 100% not an efficient way to acquire customers. Everything else that they're doing, from just regular TV commercials to, you know, any other acquisition that they're doing, is better than this, because that's just branding, really. Nobody's looking at a DraftKings sign in right field and saying, oh man, I'm gonna go play at DraftKings now. That's not, that is just keeping DraftKings kind of top of mind brand, etc. Is that something they need right now? Arguably not. But it does set up this dynamic, I think, where leagues and teams and the operators become more at odds, because they've been playing nice because they all want the same thing. They want more sports betting. They want more engagement. You know, the operators are paying the leagues and the teams with advertising or sponsorship deals or whatever. So if that gets pulled back, are they more at odds? Because the end game here is, and this is why we always had the leagues kind of at odds with sports betting as the legalization process, is that they want to own this, right? They own licenses. They want licenses to come through them. They want to be the end game for all of this. So does this, that realization that DraftKings is pulling back, they're certainly along with FanDuel, the two biggest spenders on these kind of partnership deals. What does that mean? That's a fascinating part of this in DraftKings trying to get to profitability trying to get all of this marketing spend a little bit more under control, because that is a large category, it's a large category at this point for the leagues and the teams too. If that money starts drying up a little bit, it'll be interesting to see where all this goes.
Yeah, Adam, when we look at these deals, I think this is like the first and most obvious thing as ways to cut spending, because for several of the points that Dustin already mentioned. And then also when you take a look at it, look, because these athletes can't endorse and pitch for you as it is. It'd be one thing if the star of the team could stand up there and say, like, hey, I bet it, you know, XYZ, you should too, you know, or whatever, or something like that. Like, that would be one thing. But like, you can't do that. And that's not a thing that can happen. And so really, like Dustin mentioned, like, you're really just kind of like paying a bunch of money to have your stuff plastered on a wall, which, like, you know, I don't think any of us believe truly moves the needle or kind of anything like that. I mean, if there could be a true endorsement from a player, a team, the whole team at once, they're all sitting there and they're like, hey, we all bet it, whatever. And all like that, that's one thing. And maybe that could convince someone and whatever, but not being able to get that aspect of all of this, it certainly seems like the first and most obvious place for me anyway, that you would want to cut some spending.
Well, I think the question for all of them is, what does the return on investment look like for the customers that they're getting out of these deals? Because it seems to me that you get two things in particular. You get access to customers at the game, right? You get them in the stadium, and you get the ability to have your employees in front of them, walking them through a sign up and getting them to become bettors with your app. And if that turns out to bring you profitable customers, great. And I think the other thing that you get is you get access to email and contact databases that allow you to get directly to certain customers that you might not have had access to otherwise. I think there's probably a reasonable question for some of these deals as to how much overlap there is between the email database of a team and the email database that, say, a DraftKings or FanDuel might already have had through DFS for those customers who are going to turn out to be their better customers. We're deep in the weeds on this. When we talk about these deals in particular, I think the sort of unspoken part is that during the DFS days, when all of this was thought of in some way as, is it legal? Is it shady? All of this, there was credibility attached to getting a deal with a league or a team, right? That's not a question anymore, right? It is legal. In states where they have chosen to legalize it, it is legal. There is no question as to the credibility. You don't need your name attached to a team. I think the question becomes a lot more about what is the most efficient method of acquiring customers. And it seems to me that with the numbers that were being thrown around in these deals in the early days of legal sports betting, that it's a natural place to look to say, is this delivering what we want it to deliver us? Because it's a multi-step process with one of these deals to ultimately deliver a customer that you want to keep.
And maybe, honestly, maybe the answer is both, right? Maybe the answer is it just kind of runs its course, right? Like maybe at the beginning, where if you're into a new market, it does bring a little bit of credibility to say like the official blah, blah, blah of that team when you're in a new state or something. But does that really play 3 years later? Probably not, right? So maybe it just kind of wears off over time.
Yeah, diminishing returns, right? Diminishing returns, absolutely. And just to add one more thing before Dustin gives his opinion here, because I forgot to mention this earlier, it seems that Caesars has already made its decision when it comes to the cut that it is going to enact. And I'm sorry to report, it's Carl. Carl is no longer in the advertising. JB's here. The Mannings are here. What happened to Carl? I haven't seen Carl in forever.
This is true. And so that's a good point that you brought up there. But Dustin, yeah, you were going to put a bow on this.
Yeah, I think the last part of this is what happens with these companies moving forward. The profitability is one thing, but if you're stopping the marketing or pulling back or not scaling anymore, like DraftKings is a clear number two. Caesars is clearly not there. They're, you know, in the second tier along with MGM, arguably right now. It's, you know, FanDuel with a bullet, DraftKings two, MGM and Caesars at three and four in some order, depending on the market. So Caesars gets the profitability, but how exciting is that profitability? It's the same thing we're going to see with Penn and Barstool too. So Barstool, we know, has said they're going to ramp up marketing. Does that push them up? Because what is, you know, at the end of the day, profitability is great, but if you're profitable on, you know, 3% of the market, like, and you're not growing anymore, that story again becomes not that exciting to me, like, as an investor or, you know, validating the space. You know, Caesars again is a large multinational company that you know has casinos and has a lot more skin in the game than just you know, online sports betting and online casino. So it's this you know, along with profitability, the scale and can a Fanatics come in and disrupt? Can a Barstool actually spend on marketing and disrupt? That's the other side of this coin when we're looking at everything going on in the profitability and these earnings reports.
So Dustin, I'm going to keep on rolling with you here as we head to Tennessee and look at some of this official league data stuff that we talked so much about a few months back here on the pod.
Well, I mean, years back. This whole podcast feels like a throwback to me because this is an early one. This is along with integrity fees, my favorite thing from the sports betting space is official league data has been part of the conversation pretty much since we started looking at legalization of sports betting in the states. And finally, this kind of came up as an issue in Tennessee where two operators have gone to the regulator and said that official league data from the NFL provided by Genius Sports is not available to them on quote unquote quote, commercially reasonable terms. This is what has gone into the language in Tennessee and some other states around how official data should be provided to sports books. And this is the first time we've seen this, you know, operators come out, any operator come out, say, hey, this is not quote unquote commercially reasonable, which means they're saying they're overcharging versus, you know, how, what their activity is. Because, you know, if there's a flat fee being paid here, you know, it's easier for a FanDuel or DraftKings to eat than, you know, the small operators who have complained here, which are Superbook and Bentley in Tennessee. So it's an interesting dynamic here because, you know, Tennessee could end up being a proxy for this fight other places. And all of a sudden, this official data kind of felt settled, but now it's not. Maybe if they win, it sounds like there's going to be a hearing about this possibly in the spring about whether if this data is being provided commercially reasonable means. And it's not just the NFL. This is every league, every Sportradar, Genius Sports, all of these companies that provide this data in partnership with the leagues. It's opening up a can of worms that will be fascinating to watch if anything happens on this front. So we'll see. It's a sticking point. You know, we know for a long time Nevada ran without any kind of official data, and official data has been trumpeted as the future of sports betting. That if you don't have nearly real time and or official data, that your sports betting business is not as good as everyone else. So it'll be interesting to see if anything comes of that, and if there's knock on effects in how the operators work with the leagues and the data companies on official data.
Adam, are you a data, or do you find yourself flip-flopping?
It depends on whom I'm talking to. I need to judge just how smart I need to sound. And at that point, I'll probably switch to data because I know that that is more toward the proper Latin. If I am talking about one particular piece of that information and I'm talking to a super smart person, I'll refer to a datum.
Oh, okay. Look at you. See, this is where we're just opening up, pulling the curtain back here on this pod. That's for sure. That is one thing.
Yeah. My credentials as a jackass are well established when I say things like that. So yeah, no question about it. This Tennessee situation is probably long overdue, and I don't know how far it will go, because if you read the story from our Mike Mazzeo, it discusses the regulators saying to the books, hey, we would really appreciate if you would go figure this out on your own before we have to get into it. Yeah. But I think the question becomes, how does this get figured out if Superbook and Bentley, the two operators who are saying we can't get this on commercially reasonable terms, like unless Genius brings the price down, which is never shown any inclination to do after having to pay a fairly high price more than a year ago to the NFL to wrest this deal away from Sportradar. How does it get solved? And our John Holden has written on this before, our legal analyst, essentially almost 2 years ago, I believe, John wrote a story saying, what does commercially reasonable mean? And what we all came down to is, unless it's ever challenged, we're never going to find out.
Right.
We don't know what it looks like. And when there are no competing alternatives, then it's hard to say what commercially reasonable look like. So for those of you who are new to this, if you haven't been listening to this podcast for 183 episodes, understand that the idea of mandated official league data is different than just saying there's an official league data feed, right? Because what happened was the talk of integrity fees, and God, we're not going to go all the way down that rabbit hole again, but integrity fees essentially were chopped up on Sunday night, thrown into a fish stew, and reserved on Monday morning as official league data mandates. And the whole idea was, if we can't get you to just give us money straight out, then we'll get you to give us money for a data feed that already exists, but is the only one that we're going to claim is totally reliable and the only one that is approved by us. Whatever. They won on that one. And it became more palatable with legislators. We've always said on this podcast, there's nothing wrong with official league data and the ability to make a deal for it commercially. The question has always been, why is it mandated in law for sportsbooks to have to take these official feeds that ultimately end up being profit machines for the leagues?
David Fizdale would say data, if everyone remembers.
Take that for data. Why don't people? I love that clip and no one remembers it anymore. Thank you, Matt.
Yes. Like, and for anyone wondering, I'm officially a flopper. I know for sure I say data and data. I have no rhyme or reason as to why. Whatever comes out, however the brain decides, it's going to be said in that way. Adam, let's head to Minnesota.
up to the Great White North we go, where it looks like more of a promising state than we have seen in the past with Minnesota. Now, last year, there was a bit of momentum toward legalizing sports betting in Minnesota, and it kind of came apart toward the end of the session with one chamber being on a different page than the other. And we're still a little bit that way, but it turns out that there's going to be a lot more power consolidated in one political party this year, and that has a chance of pushing this on through. So Representative Stevenson up in Minnesota has the alignment of the tribes who have exclusive casino gaming rights in Minnesota, as well as six of the professional sports teams in Minnesota, with support for the tribes getting exclusivity over legal sports betting in the state. Now, there is a competing bill in the Senate that would include horse racing tracks as part of the deal, but the momentum that has been gathered behind the tribal bill, which was solidified with a letter from those six teams that was released yesterday supporting the House bill, appears to show that this has a pretty good chance in Minnesota. The governor is on board with legal sports betting. And what happened in the election in 2022 was that you had the Republican Party over on the Senate side expecting that it was going to have control coming into this session, which would have changed the equation a little bit. But the DFL party, that is the party of Stevenson, the party of Walls, has now the ability to control the agenda in both houses. So it does seem like Minnesota is going to move toward the top of the list of states likely to pass something this year.
Dustin, a little game we like to play here anytime we talk about a state and what they might add to the legal sports betting landscape. How populous is Minnesota in the rankings of states? Where would you say that they fit in the 50 states? What number are they from a population standpoint? Do not Google it. I see you looking. Do not do it.
Well, I thought you were going to ask me. I had to have the answer. So rank in states.
Give them an over under. Give them an over under. Give them a number on an over under.
Over under 21 and a half.
21 and a half million?
Or number, no, 21 number, and a half as far as the state ranking.
Under as in lower population.
Correct. Yes, they are over 22nd. They are 25.8 million. They are just ahead of South Carolina and just below Wisconsin, if anyone was wondering. The 22nd most populous state here in the United States.
Yeah, and Minnesota, what are you doing else in Minnesota all winter? I've been to Minnesota in winter, and it is a miserable place. Sorry if you're listening in Minnesota.
I do have to speak up for Minnesota in the summer, though. They held the Nickel G's conference there a couple of years ago, and that was a lovely place to have a conference. But it's always looming when you look up and you see those covered tunnels between the buildings, and you're like, I know what those are there for, and I'm not going to be here when you have to use them.
I mean, you guys know why I was there. And I think I spent, like, unless I was walking somewhere, I was not outside. It was a miserable experience. It was literally the coldest I've ever been in my life one time when I was, anyway.
I'm like looking at these like top 100 golf courses that you can, like, yeah, public golf course you can play. And like, there's two of them in Minnesota. And I'm like, what are they open like 60 days a year? Like, when can you even play these golf courses? Like, how are they so good? And you only get 60 days of business. I don't even understand how this works.
I don't know. But back to Minnesota and the sports betting stuff. This is fascinating because Minnesota, I think we always kind of chalk up tribes didn't really want it. And like going into this year, I think we probably would have said, Minnesota, long shot. And now we all of a sudden become all the teams and leagues are aligned. We have the tribes saying they want it. Like, this is a different ballgame. This is also why handicapping this stuff, unless you're really well aware of all the little machinations in the background, like Minnesota goes from long shot to, you know, at least like a reasonable shot. I don't know if the favorite as we sit here, but this is a dynamic that's very good for Minnesota. All this coming out together. I know the representative Pat Garofalo has been working on this basically since the beginning of time. He's also a sports bettor. He's a fun follow on Twitter because he's always gambling. I don't know where. I think he goes across the border to bet, but it'll be fascinating to see if this is where there's smoke, there's fire. We're going to see some. It looks like we could see some real movement in Minnesota.
All right, Dustin, it's a big day for you over there. So we are going to go ahead and just close things out here with some prize picks information.
Yeah, this one's another, again, throwback time. we saw a tweet caught our eye because Adam and I like the Twitter machine for industry scuttlebutt and things like that. So I don't know if Jeremy Coudon listens to as a fan of the show. If he is, sorry if I say anything wrong. I'm just, he's a lobbyist who has been at the center of both legalization efforts of daily fantasy sports and then into the multi-state approach for sports betting. So it caught our eye when there's a tweet about Prize Picks and how well it's doing. Prize Picks is one of these quote unquote daily fantasy sports. I'm going to choose my words carefully here because I'm not here to get fined or sued. But Prize Picks is a daily fantasy sports company that offers, you know, what is basically prop betting, parlays on player performances, things like that. Is it legal in a lot of states or most states where it operates? It has a very good legal argument that it is. It uses a combination of games of skill, the carve out in the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act that allows for fantasy sports on the outcomes of sports. So what Jeremy said is that after saying how good Prize Picks has been doing, it's like this is like an illegal VGT company winning an award from the American Gaming Association for Casino Experience of the Year. I know fantasy sports companies, and Prize Picks is not one of them. That's aggressive. I'd say I think we'd all agree. And here I'm here to tell you it could be legal, but it is 100% not daily fantasy sports. It is the equivalent of parlays and props. It may be legal, but it's not. So it is, but it's also funny because, Jeremy and the DraftKings and FanDuel went around the country barnstorming and got a bunch of daily fantasy sports laws and regulations on the book. And they got them to be, they wrote them overly broadly. And that set the stage for exactly what we've seen here, which is a continued pushing of the envelope of what is quote unquote daily fantasy sports. So it's kind of funny to me that, we passed all these overly broad laws and now we're complaining about it. Adam and I at least know one investor who's been on a crusade about this is like, why doesn't DraftKings and FanDuel do this? Because they don't want to risk their sports betting licenses. Yes. It's a funny dynamic with all of this. These companies are doing very well, we believe, because they're serving an audience that does not either has to go offshore or doesn't have legal sports betting, or it's a little different experience and product than the pure sports betting experience at the sportsbook operators. Anyway, it's fascinating. I don't know what comes of this, but it's an interesting story to think about where these companies are going. Will they get into the sports betting space? That's hard because I think they might have to just kind of quit this largely unregulated. They are regulated in some states. They register in some states that have DFS laws. But I don't know what the exit is. Like if DraftKings and FanDuel wanted to be in this business, they'd just be in this business. They don't need to go buy these companies or somebally else. We saw Monkey Knife Fight acquired by Bally's. They're not now trying to sell that off. What is the exit of all this? Where does all this head? I don't know. It's all fascinating. And this tweet kind of stirred all of this up. Jeremy's well-known in back channels, not known as much known in public circles, but him throwing shade on all this was a fascinating little thing in our industry.
Adam, I'll just say this again. I echo what Dustin said. While maybe technically legal, it is certainly no form of daily fantasy sports that I played for a very long time or anything like that. Like might be technically legal, not really DFS.
My favorite part is having played around with one of these products that I will not name. They give you the higher lower option, right? The higher lower that is definitely not prop betting, but you can't just bet on one of them. In order for them to take the wager, you have to do at least two. But then the rules get all interesting because it can't be two players from the same team, right? Some of them are even more wonky than that. And it's all kind of like, wait a minute, where are you deciding that this is the one distinction that ultimately makes this okay? Like what legal opinion do you have that says, yes, you can do this where it's two props parlayed that is definitely not sports betting, but it can't be two from the same team. Oh, no. That's exactly where everyone would step in and say that crosses the line. It's amazing to me. I just enjoyed that back and forth from Jeremy et al. And I think Nick Green was involved in that one, too. And yeah, DFS, sports betting, everything old is new again.
Remember, Matt, when we used to question whether DFS on golf and NASCAR, just the sport of golf and the sport of, like, I wrote stories about this 8 years ago. We were like, is this legal? Is this fit in the UIGA? Like, that's all. It's wild. Even DraftKings was like, I'm not sure this is legal under UIGA, but we're going to do it anyway. And now we're just like, you know, again, this is the outcome of all of this. We create unclear laws and overly broad laws, and this is the outcome, because people are going to continue to push that envelope until somebody tells them not to.
It's wild. I'm interested to see how this eventually all turns out as well. Guys, everything we do here, you can find the written words over on LegalSportsReport.com. So please go over there, take in everything that Adam and company are doing. A bunch of hard work goes on behind the scenes for that. Subscribe, rate, review. If you're watching us on the YouTubes, hit that subscribe button as well. Do appreciate your help growing the channel. And just a bit of advice for everyone listening out there: if you were wondering how you don't have to cut your marketing spend on a spokesperson, you could just make it Stephen Money, who is a fictional cell phone, and then you just don't have to worry about cutting him because he's free. So you don't have to won't ever have to cut that marketing budget,
and he will drag the hell out of you if your app goes down. Watch out.
So there is that as well. For Adam for Dustin, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.